Jumping in on Manx Radio
with Howard and Chris Kane.
Hello.
Good evening.
And welcome. Yes, and it is, of course, Saturday, 9 o'clock on Manx Radio. It can only mean one thing, jumping in the best in modern and contemporary jazz with myself, H.
And me, Chris. Yes, welcome along to this week's Jumping In, a bit of a special. I'm sure you, many of you were as shocked and saddened to hear as we were of the recent death of keyboard maestro Chick Corea, aged just 79. Still producing music of the highest calibre right up to the end, and with a full diary of gigs planned for this year, COVID allowing. His death from a rare cancer came as a shock to everyone. So this week we'd like to give a whole show over to Chick, giving perhaps just the slightest taste of the wide variety of styles he could cover with consummate ease. And to get the show rolling, one thing he always wore proudly on his sleeve was his Spanish heart. Here's Love Castle.
Thank you.
From the 1976 album My Spanish Heart, that was the opening track, Love Castle. Sorry about the abrupt ending there, it segues into the next part of the suite. But it firmly established Chick as a master of the Latin styling and perhaps one of the earliest discs to mix together flamenco and jazz, with an all-star cast including a fellow Return to Forever bandmate Stanley Clark on bass, more of which later on, Steve Gadd on the drums, as well as a brass section, a string quartet, Jean-Luc Ponty on solo violin, Mahavishnu and Weather Report percussionists, his wife Gail on vocals, and I think Chick got a bit of singing in himself as well. Many of the themes were revisited in 2019 on the Spanish Heart Band get-together Antidote.
Marvellous stuff. You're listening to Jumping In. It's our Chick career tribute special there. Chick sadly left us just a few weeks ago, far too young. Born in Chelsea, Massachusetts on June the 12th, 1941, his whole family was musical, and he was encouraged early on to study the piano. He established himself around the Boston area and then found work in New York in the early parts of the 1960s with Mongo Santa Maria, amongst others, and had a real great affinity for sort of Afro-Cuban jazz. So he went on to play with the likes of Sonny Stitt and Willie Bobo and Hubert Laws, people like that. Made his place in straight-ahead jazz, playing with the Blue Mitchell Quintet. Great, a couple of great albums on Blue Note. I was going to find out whether I had one of those on the vinyl the other day, you know what, and I never got round to it. It's like the Horace Silver Quintet of the late 50s and early 60s, with the Chick replacing Horace Al Foster, replaced by Al Brooks. A couple of classics there. The Thing to Do, I think that's the one I've got. The Thing to Do, I've got that on vinyl. Have you got that one knocking around?
I think I've got that on vinyl as well.
It's a beauty. In the 60s, mid-60s, he made his debut with Atlantic with Herbie Mann, and his reputation grew rapidly. In 67, he joined Stan Getz Quartet, the magnificent Sweet Rain album, with tracks such as this one, Windows. But we're going to hear a version that Chick recorded himself a little bit later on, 1968. He recorded this one, Chick on piano, Miroslav Vitus bass, Roy Haynes on the drums. Now he sings, now he sobs, and this is Windows. Thank you. terrific stuff. Windows, from Now He Sings, Now He Sobs on Blue Note. Still sounds fresh as paint, that album. It really does. Wonderful dancing cymbal work from Roy Haynes, who I think he's certainly still with us. As far as I'm aware, he's still playing in his 90s. No mean achievement for a drummer, it has to be said. Whether he's still got the stamina he had when he was in the 1960s, I don't know. Perhaps he, goes for the slower numbers now, gives the rest of the band more space, sounding fantastic there. Chick on piano, of course, Miroslav Vitus on the bass, Roy Haynes at the drums. And if you haven't got that in your collection or downloaded it or listened to it, do yourself a favour and check it out, because it's an absolute cracker.
I read somewhere the other day, that jazz music and jazz listeners are apparently the happiest people. Jazz makes you happier than any other style of music, according to a review. Glad to hear that, of course. And Chick obviously enjoyed rhythmic styles of music throughout his life and was a drummer as well, quite a competent drummer before he turned to the piano. And lots of online tributes to read and how... liked he was and what a great person to work with. One of which recently from guitarist and songwriter John Mayer, who said on his experience with playing with Chick on stage, whenever you'd make a mistake, he would pick it up and make it into a motive, as if to say, no matter what you think of it, I'm sure it'll work somehow. And he was noted for his cheeky sense of humour, and cheekiness indeed was how he picked up the name Chick. It was a family pet name from an aunt of his who always called him Cheeky Chick, and Chick just stuck, and we've known him as Chick Corea ever since. And now going back even further, same year, funnily enough, as Now He Sings, Now He Sobs, but at the beginning of the year, he brought out his very first solo album. So back to the beginning with the title track from his debut release, 1968, Tones for Joan's Bones. Thank you. Jones for Jones Bones. We never get an explanation of who Joan was. Not Chick's wife, that's one thing for sure, but the title track from his debut solo album back in the early part of 1968, the same year, as we said, Now He Sings, Now He Sobs came out. Now, although the album actually features a quintet with Joe Farrell on trumpet and Woody Shaw on trumpet and Joe Farrell on saxes and flutes, the track we heard there, of course, was just a trio with Steve Swallow on the bass and Joe Chambers on the drums. Both of those definitely worth a place in your collection.
So is the Jones Bones, would it be Elvin Jones's Bones?
Well, it could well be. Could well be.
That's what I thought when we said it, but I don't know for certain. I mean, that's all but left
but it's, to mind. But it's not spelt like that kind of Joan, of course.
Ah, right. Well, in that case, you're right. No, who knows? Good tune. In any case, I don't know the etymology of that one, but a nice one, cracking playing as well. It was a busy old year, 1968, for Chick. You'd have thought how he managed to cram so much in one sort of year playing around, and whether this was the sort of launch pad for his career or not, I don't know. But who was he hired up by? Well, of course, Miles Davis, always on the lookout. Miles, the Dahok Prince, for young talent. It's going to fit in to his unique sound world. He brought on the British bass player, of course, Dave Holland, as a young man, and then hoovered up Chick career. He's still playing with Herbie, of course, with his second great quintet with Herbie on piano, of course, Ron Carter, bass, Tony Williams at the drums. But he was getting more and more into the electronic side of things. Herbie maybe wasn't going quite down that direction at the time, and he was sort of moving it more in that sort of rocky area and whatever, and he was hearing different sounds, and he was bringing in different guys as he went towards this new sound. So from the same year again, this is a sort of crossover album in a lot of people's eyes. Fi de Kilimanjaro.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, great ending. Freelan Brun from Miles Davis's Fi de Kilimanjaro. I can say it now. album, one of those transitional albums, as a lot of people see it in the Miles Davis canon. And like I said, he was sort of moving away from his second great quintet with Tony Williams on the drums there and Herbie Hancock, and going in this more electronic area. So it's sort of from the road to this to that, as it suggests on the notes. Just Ahead lies In a Silent Way, and then on to the seminal Bitches Brew and all the rest of Miles Davis's electric explorations. And in the rearview mirror, you can make out the collected recordings of all of the 65 to 68 quintet, like Miles Smiles and ESP and great albums like that. Terrific stuff. So it features both, really, on this album, on that particular lineup. Miles on trumpet, of course, Wayne on tenor, Wayne Shorter, Chick playing electric piano, Dave Holland bass, Tony Williams at the drums. But there is more tracks on the album as well, which features still Herbie playing the electric piano as well. And of course, he'd then go on. Tony would go his own way, and Jack DeJohnette would come in on drums.
Strange, isn't it? How your taste changes, though. I mean, I remember hearing both that and, of course, Bitches Brew back in the early 70s and thinking, completely. Coming on the back of being brought into kind of blue from the old man, you know, I thought, this is nonsense. I can't get a handle on this at all. And listening to it again, I've listened to both of them fully, and it just sounds really good, straight-ahead driving music. Nothing peculiar about it at all. It's got a great groove that runs throughout it, but obviously transitional. And the classic sound of Chick on the RMI electric piano there, quite notably different from the Rhodes and Wurlitzer pianos. Now, with a relationship dating right the way back again to shortly after that period, the early 70s, Chick Corea and Vibes man Gary Burton had a lifelong musical relationship, really, notably perhaps for some, with their first of their recorded legacy being the 1972 release Crystal Silence on ECM. That track itself coming from the debut album of Return to Forever, also recorded on ECM in the same year. But one of my favourite recordings of the pair came in 1983 with the addition of the string quartet on Lyric Suite for Sextet. I can't say it now either. Lyric Suite for Sextet. And although it's not the finale, here's Finale. Thank you.
Hi, this is Maria Schneider, and you're listening to Jumpin' In with H and Chris on Manx Radio.
Beautiful stuff, a little bit of a twofer there. That was indeed from the aforementioned Crystal Silence album, another iconic album on the ECM label from that enduring duo of Chick Corea with Gary Burden. And before that, the Lyric Suite. I remember Charles Fox talking about
it. Indeed, finale from the 1983 recording Lyric Suite for Sextet, showing Chick and Gary Burden with Chick's consummate ease how he could cross boundaries and fuse different musical styles together. Always a love of classicism, particularly a fan of Bartok, as reflected in his Children's Songs Suite. But they're putting in the addition of a string quartet to great effect. And I remember getting that album and playing it almost constantly in the car for months. And the last time we saw Chick live, I think, was in duet with Gary Burton at the Barbican, where they took time out between the selections for a great selection of anecdotes to share a laugh with the audience. And that was a fantastic night to remember.
Certainly was. This would have been good too, live with Eddie Gomez and Paul Motion. Here he is. Thank you. stuff. Chick Corea with and
Eddie Gomez
at the New York Jazz Club Birdland in 2011, and he went on to carry on with a fantastic group with Christian McBride and Brian Blade trilogy, a triple album followed by a double album only about last year, I think, which made a lot of the critics' top lists of the jazz albums of the year, playing at the top of his game to the end.
Well, I'm sure that we've barely scratched the surface of the huge and varied musical legacy of Chick Corea, but hopefully you've enjoyed our personal journey through just a few recordings. For many people, he had a split personality, exploring the acoustic piano, either in a trio setting or with a five-piece band and horns, or a neoclassical orchestral writing, or indeed with a huge variety of electric keyboards in his electric band or the seminal fusion group Return to Forever. With a dozen or so studio recordings, the band was right up there with Weather Report and Mahavishnu Orchestra. We'll leave you with one of my personal favourites, from the band's 1976 recording Romantic Warrior, with a lineup of Stan Clark on bass, Lenny White on the drums, Aldi Muir on guitar, and of course Chick Corea at the piano. Unusually, it's an all acoustic track. See you next week. Here's Romantic Warrior.
Bye for now. Thank you.